Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
On March the 10th last year, Micheál Ryan, or Mick as he was known, from Lahinch in County Clare, died when the Boeing 737 MAX aircraft he was on crashed in Ethiopia. The father of two and engineer with the UN World Food Programme was one of 157 people who lost their lives in that tragedy. His wife, Nisha, has been fighting for answers from Boeing after it was the second such type of brand new aircraft to crash in 4 months. And Nisha joins me now on the line. Good morning, Nisha.
Good morning, Miriam.
First of all, I'm so terribly sorry about what happened to Mick, and thank you so much for joining me this morning. Do you mind telling me what kind of a person your Mick was?
I mean, the first thing I can say about Mick is he was a family man. Family meant everything to him. My family, his family, our family. He was my husband and my best friend. He was an amazing dad. There was nothing he liked more than, you know, just hanging out with the kids. MacDara was only 6 months when the fatal crash happened. But Sarah, he got to spend 3.5 years with, and he just enjoyed every minute of it. It was an absolute joy to see the two of them together. Just sit down, have a coffee and a croissant with her, you know, chat about things. He just had an ability to talk to anybody. He was able to cross many social cultures, boundaries, you know. He was just one of those people. We were a team. We just had, you know, so much fun together. There was a lot of laughter. He just had this kind of feel-good factor about him. He'd walk into a room and if Mick was there, there was usually a gathering of people around him, you know, just laughing and joking. And He was passionate about the outdoors. He loved surfing, golfing, just get out into the outdoors, get into the sea. He just loved life, you know.
And he was very senior in the World Food Programme. He was an engineer. What was it like for you when he would be away on those missions? You're an engineer yourself, Nisha, and you were actually going to take up a role with the World Food Programme. So you'd a really good knowledge of what the missions could be like.
Yeah, I mean, when Mick was away, you know, before we had kids, I would visit him in the countries where he'd be on mission. We worked together with the UN in Sri Lanka after the tsunami, so I had my own first-hand experience of what it was like as well to work with the UN, and I got it. I understood what it was about and what it meant to Mick. He had a passion and talent to help people, and through engineering, he knew he was able to do that, and he knew he could make a difference. So when he would, you know, go away, it was, you know, obviously there would be initial anxiety, but I knew how Mick could handle himself. I knew he understood the countries and the situations he would be in the period of time he worked with the UN. He had encountered many incidences that could have led to certain death, and he had a kind of a sixth sense for danger. He experienced compound attacks. He drove through areas that were dotted with landmines, you know, but always came out the other side, always knew the risks and knew, you know, how to get through things safely.
Look, Nisha, going back to that morning, and only in as much as you want to tell me, how did you find out, and what could you do at the time of the accident?
I was with my two kids. It was early Sunday morning. We had woken up about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had the kids with me, and we sent him a message, a photograph of the kids with, you know, "Good morning, Daddy" on it. And I could see that the message had sent but not delivered. So I felt, okay, he's still in transit. And then I was playing with the kids, getting them dressed, the usual thing. And at about 11 o'clock, I checked my phone because I was kind of expecting a call from Mick. And on my phone, there was messages and a missed call from a friend of ours in Rome. And he was saying to me, "Nisha, have you seen the news? Can you call me straight away?" And I could see the message was, he was a bit panicked. So So I rang him and I said, is everything okay? And he said, Nisha, have you seen in the news? A plane has gone down between Addis and on the way to Nairobi. And I said, no, I haven't seen anything. And I haven't heard anything. And he said, Nisha, I think Mick was on the plane. And you get blank. Your whole brain goes blank. But I felt sick. And I felt it couldn't be true. My immediate reaction was, I need to get off the phone. This isn't true. So I rang my sister. She came. And then within a few hours, it was confirmed. He was on that flight.
You rang the one person who could probably give you a definite answer.
Yeah, that was Dina. She was a close colleague of Mick and one of the chiefs in WFP. She knew what mission he was on. She would have known what flight he was going on. She couldn't even talk. She just started crying. And that's when I knew it was true. And I felt sick. It's the only way I can describe it. It was like it was gut-wrenching. It was, you know, my whole world just fell apart around me there and then.
It's a measure of the man you were married to, Nisha, that he wasn't due to be on that plane, but he thought it was like an important opportunity to meet up with fellow World Food Programme colleagues, didn't he, in Kenya for a workshop?
Yeah. A lot of the media had reported that he was heading to a conference in Nairobi, but that wasn't the case. There was a training workshop was going to be held in Nairobi, and he felt that Africa was going to be the next big project they were going to take on, and he needed to get them on board. And Mick was one of these people that he had ideas, he had the vision, but he knew that you have to meet them face to face, you have to explain your ideas to them. So it was only a few days beforehand that trip was booked.
When the UN World Food Programme, which is obviously what Mick worked for, received the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize, how did you feel about that?
I had mixed feelings, I suppose, about it, because one of the things that kind of struck me first was a dreadful sadness, because I could imagine how Mick would feel, you know, hearing the news. He would have been very excited to know that WFP received such a prestigious award. But, you know, he was one of these guys that could bring things down to ground fairly quickly. And I can imagine him joking as well, you know. But then, like, as the day went on, like, tributes started to flow in to my phone. My phone didn't stop beeping. People were forwarding me, taking screenshots of Facebook messages, just saying that this is a time to remember Mick and the work he did. And I suppose it lifted my spirits, and knowing that in some way his legacy continues.
The Boeing 737 MAX aircraft, they've been grounded ever since the two crashes, one in Indonesia and the one in Ethiopia, in which Mick lost his life. There was, Nisha, an 18-month US congressional investigation by the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. It was highly critical of both Boeing and the Federal Aviation Administration. What do you want to happen now?
I mean, we want the truth, and we want accountability. I mean, like, an admission that mistakes were made isn't enough. And also they have to reveal to us what they have discovered since the crashes and to outline exactly the measures they have taken to make sure this never happens again. But these documents have remained secret to us. And how can we be sure that they are prioritizing safety? After all, this is a company and an agency that knew after the first crash that these planes weren't safe to fly, but they kept them in the air. And then after the second crash, they were adamant that the planes didn't need to be grounded again and insisted that they were safe to fly. So how can we be sure that these planes, that the same company and the same regulatory body who are now saying these planes are ready to be ungrounded are safe to fly, unless we have the opportunity to allow our lawyers and the technical experts, the people that know, to review these documents and confirm that this is the case. And why are they keeping them secret?
And it was reported just this week, Nisha, that the US Federal Aviation Administration, that it's in the final stages of reviewing proposed changes to Boeing's 737 MAX, and it expects to complete the process in the coming days, according to the FAA. But what do you think of that?
I'm shocked. I really am shocked. This is not something that should be fast forwarded. You know, to say that they could be ungrounding it in the next couple of weeks, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Final question, Nisha. How are Sarah McDarrah? I think Sarah's five, McDarrah's two. How are you doing?
We're coping. Sarah's going to school and I'm fighting for justice for Mick. And I've got a lot of very good people around me. And I had family supporting us. And at the beginning, when we heard the news, like, we went through nightmares. Sarah was having nightmares. You know, we've been through a whole process. And my priority is always the kids, but also for them to feel that they know about their daddy and the type of person he was and how he wanted to make a difference in the world. And I'm going to continue that fight for them. But more than anything, I mean, I want them to be happy. I want Sarah to grow up and feel this isn't something that will hang over her for the rest of her life, that justice will prevail in the end, and that we might be able to change something in aviation safety and so that this never happens again.
Well, Nisha, thank you so much for talking to me this morning. I'm so sorry what happened to your beautiful Mick. He'd be so proud of you if he was alive now. And mind yourself. And thank you so much for talking to me. It was a privilege.